You are very busy this time of year. As happens every Christmas, you know, we get quite busy, and there's a lot of people all around us who are active and busy. A lot of them are stressed and weary as a result of that. And I meet people who are ambitious and they have great dreams, but I rarely meet people who are totally at peace with themselves and at peace with God. It's a rare quality, and yet it's one of the reasons that we celebrate Christmas, because Jesus came to bring us peace. About 2,700 years ago, Isaiah the prophet predicted that the Savior of the world was going to come, and he would be called the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6 says, "A child has been born for us, and God has given us a son, and he will be called the Prince of Peace." Isaiah spoke about Jesus 700 years before this happened. And of course, at the very first Christmas, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." So Isaiah announces peace. The angels announce peace. Jesus' own ministry is about peace on earth. In fact, before he returns to heaven, Jesus says, "I am giving you the gift of peace, the kind of peace that only I can give." He says, "The gift I give you, no one else can give you that. It does not come from a bottle or a shot or therapy." Jesus says, "The peace I give, only I can give you." The peace this world gives is fragile and temporary. How many peace treaties have been broken in history? As we think about the coming of the Prince of Peace, let's think about the peace that only Jesus can give us. Then I want us to look at how you get it, the keys and the steps to peace. I don't know what kind of year you had. Some of you may be very tired or worn out. Maybe it's been tough and stressful. We're looking at how to get God's peace. He does not intend for you to live full of stress and worry and anxiety, but instead to possess a peace and mind, peace of mind and a tranquil soul. There are actually 790 verses in the Bible that deal with the subject of peace. 790. They reveal three different kinds of peace. There's spiritual peace, there's emotional peace, and there's relational peace. There's eternal peace with God. That's spiritual peace. There's emotional, internal peace with yourself. And then there's the external peace with other people in your personal relationships. Dear Father, I pray that you'll help us to understand more fully than we ever have before this peace that you are desiring to give to us. May we listen to the voice of your Spirit as he speaks to us through your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first kind of peace that Jesus came to give is peace with God. Peace with God. That's spiritual peace. This is the most important peace because it affects everything else. When a relationship is out of whack, maybe with a spouse or with a child or a parent, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, nothing else seems to matter but patching up that relationship and getting it right. Relationship conflicts rob us of peace. It robs us of our joy. But being out of whack with God is far more devastating than being out of whack on personal relationships. The Bible says the first thing Jesus came to do is to restore peace between us and God. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "God sent Christ to make peace between himself and us. Because when I determine to go my own way, I'm saying, I know better than God. I'll make up my own rules. I'll be the master of my own life. I'll do whatever I want to do. When I do that, I pretend that I'm God. That's an act of rebellion. It puts me in conflict with God. It puts me in conflict with His Word, the Bible. There's no peace there. God feels far away when we have that kind of attitude. God does not want us to live disconnected with Him. He wants us to be united with Him. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. In your bulletin insert, you might circle those three words, done for us, done for us. We have peace with God because of what Jesus has done for us. You see, peace with God doesn't come because of what you do or what I do. Peace with God comes from what Jesus did for you on the cross. You can't be a nice enough person to get peace with God. You get God's peace through what Jesus did. That is what Christmas is all about. Verse 10 says there in Romans 5, for since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. And then Hebrews 7:27 says, Jesus sacrificed for our sins once and for all when He offered Himself on the cross. You accept what Jesus has already done for you. He gave Himself to pay for your sins and my sins. So the first kind of peace is peace with God. Secondly, peace within. That's called emotional peace. When I have peace with God, I get the peace of God inside. This peace gives me contentment and joy. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. The word for peace in the Old Testament Hebrew is shalom. You've probably heard that word, shalom, which means more than just ending hostilities. It means well-being, joy, harmony, serenity. In fact, as I mentioned, there are over 790 verses about God's peace in the Scripture. 790. So let me say it this way. There is peace available for every one of your problems. For those with a broken heart, He gives us comforting peace. For those with a confused heart, He gives us guiding peace. A shamed heart, He gives us forgiving peace. When we have a worried heart, He gives us trusting, confident peace. When you have peace, the peace with God, then you have the peace of God. Peace within. God has peace for every problem, whatever the problem might be. If you have a financial problem, He can give you financial peace, promised in Scripture. Physical trouble, physical peace is promised in Scripture. I think of Johnny Erickson and Todd, who at the age of 17 broke her neck in a diving accident, and from that point on was completely paralyzed below the neck. She's now about 70 years old. She's established a ministry to people who are in the same desperate condition that she was in and is in. People that have physical needs, people that are desperate. Johnny Erickson Tata has been used by God in a marvelous way. God didn't heal her from the injury she sustained. He took her and He used her to bring help to people all over the world. God doesn't want us to worry about anything. If you have a bitterness problem, he'll give you a forgiving spirit. As I said, bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. He'll figure out a way to give you peace so that you will have peace within you. The third kind of peace is peace with others. First of all, peace with God, then peace with myself, and then peace with others. This is relational peace. The closer we get to God, the better our relationships can be. But the further our relationship gets from God, the more we tend to mess up in our relationships with everyone else. You want to strengthen your marriage? Get close to God, because if you're growing closer to God and your spouse is growing closer to God, it pulls you closer to each other. I like the example of the triangle, and there's the husband and the wife down in the corners, and the closer they get to God, the closer they get to each other. The world is not getting more peaceful. It's more and more conflicted. It's happening all around us. How in the world do we get unity when there's so many different kinds of people about us? The only way that we'll have peace is when we're unified as children of God. Ephesians 2:16 from the Message paraphrase says, Christ brought us all together through his death on the cross. The cross gets us to embrace each other and end the hostility between different groups. When we have the Prince of Peace in our lives, then we will have peace with each other. Look at all the injustice and crime and racism and so forth. Galatians 3:23 says, In Christ's family, there is no division between Jew and Gentile, slave and free, or even male and female. In Christ, we're all equal and the same. We're all in a common relationship with Jesus. These three kinds of peace build on each other. They build on each other. Peace with God results in the peace of God, and as a result, I have peace within myself. Then I can have peace with you. Things that used to irritate us don't bother us that much anymore. It's like having a coffee cup that's filled to the brim. Have you ever taken and filled your coffee cup and you got it filled a little bit too full and it's right there at the brim? And the slightest little jar then will cause that cup to spill over. If I'm filled with myself, the slightest shake causes me to spill over. I get irritated. But when I'm emptied of self and filled with God's peace, I'm not so easily upset. These three kinds of peace start with Jesus. How do you enjoy the peace that we just talked about? The peace of God, peace with God, peace with others flowing from God's peace that's within me. The Bible says you do three things. These could be life-changing moments for you. Stress will go down, peace will go up, and you'll be a new person if you follow what the Bible says about how to enjoy the peace of God. Number one is I must experience clarity of understanding. A moment of clarity is a life-changing moment that transforms you. You're never the same. You see things like you've never seen them before. You see God as he really is, not as you thought he was. You see yourself as you really are, not what you thought you were. It's clarity. It's clearness of understanding. And you get it. I get God. I get me. I see others as they really are, not as I thought they were. You begin to clearly understand your own problems like never before. You think, all my life I've been battling against this. I just haven't seen it. But in a moment of clarity, you see it. You see your past more clearly than ever before. You see your present more clearly, and you see your future more clearly. In the very first Christmas, each of those people had a moment of clarity. Joseph had a moment of clarity in a dream. He truly understands what's about to happen. Now, God uses dreams. I've heard of many Muslims who've come to faith in Jesus Christ through dreams, through moments of clarity. The wise men had a moment of clarity in nature. They studied a particular star. They were enlightened, and they acted upon what they found out. Mary had a moment of clarity when the angel spoke to her. The shepherds had a moment of clarity when the angels appeared, and they did as the angels said and checked it out. Elizabeth had a moment of clarity through her friend Mary. Sometimes you get a moment of clarity from a friend who asks, "Have you ever thought about this?" The Bible says in Ephesians 1:18, "I pray that your heart will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future that God has called you to share." God knows everything about you. But I know very little about God. And what we need is understanding, clarity about Him. Until that happens, you will not have peace. It starts with clarity, with understanding. What's the opposite of clarity? The opposite of clarity is denial. Denial. What are you pretending not to know about yourself or a particular relationship you're having trouble with? What are you sweeping under the carpet? Denial is the opposite of clarity. In clarity of understanding, you stop blaming others for your own unhappiness. And the blame game is probably the most prominent game in the world today. You can't blame your spouse. You can't blame your child, your parent, your coworker, your boss, your neighbor. When you have a moment of clarity, you stop blaming other people and realize that the biggest problem I have is me. I'm the biggest problem I have. It's the way I'm responding to all of these other things. Jesus said in Luke 11:35, "Make sure that the light you think you have is not really darkness." Make sure that the light you think you have is not really darkness. We all have an amazing ability to deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves more than we lie to anyone else. We tell ourselves things that things are worse than they really are. And at times we tell ourselves that they're better than they are. Little lies like, "Well, I can do that. It's okay. Well, just this once. It's no big deal. I've got it all under control." It's denial. Until we have a moment of clarity, we won't understand what it feels to have real peace. You can live your life so long without peace that you actually think it's the normal way to live. You think that all that stress and all that anxiety, that fear, that fatigue is just normal. That's just the way everyone lives. No, they don't. There is peace with God, and there is the peace of God that gives you peace with other people. The good life is believed to be by so many to be looking good, feeling good, and having all the goods. A lot of people have all three of those things. They look good, they feel good, they have all the goods, and they're not at peace. They're anxious, they're insecure, they're fearful, they're afraid, they're miserable because they don't have God's peace. The root cause of stress is thinking that I know better than God. If I could just do it my way, then things would work out. God says in Isaiah 48:18, "If only you had paid attention to my commands," God says, "your peace would have flowed like a river." So it starts with a moment of clarity when I'm honest with God, I'm honest with myself, and I'm honest with other people. Secondly, I must express an attitude of humility. I need clarity, but I also need to express humility. James 4:6 says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Grace is the power you need to have peace. So here's the exchange: my vanity for his peace. I exchange my anxiety for his tranquility. You see, God is not impressed with my whining. Griping and complaining does not move God at all. What does touch his heart is humbly asking, "God, I need your help." When I humbly ask, God opens the floodgates of heaven and he pours out his grace and his mercy and his peace. He wants us to express an attitude of humility. One way I do that is just to admit that God is God and I am not. That's a good antidote for stress. When I get stressed out, repeat this three times: God is God and I am not. Isaiah 26:12 says, "Lord, grant peace, for all we have and all we are has come from you." In humility, pray, "God, I just want to admit everything I am and all that I have is because of you. I would not be taking my next breath if it wasn't for you." God made you to love you, and he wants you to love him back. We're all broken. Every one of us, we're broken. We're deeply flawed. Sin has broken every one of us. But we're also deeply loved. We come to God in a moment of clarity and then an attitude of humility. Psalm 34:18 says, "God is close to those whose hearts are breaking. He rescues those who are humbly sorry for their sins." One man spoke about dealing with the death of his adult son. He said, "When I went through deep despair, there was an amazing sense of peace in my heart that kept me going that I could not explain. It's all according to the peace that passes understanding." God gives us a practical way to express humility. In the Living Bible paraphrase, Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him. If you do this, you will experience God's peace. God's peace is far greater than the human mind can understand. God's peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." So what do I do to get on this path of peace? To get off the stress track and get on a peace train, you need a moment of clarity, you need an attitude of humility, and then you need a decision. of dependency. I must expect Jesus to help me. God will do what we expect him to do in our lives. This is called the faith factor. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came to give us peace on earth. He came to give us goodwill to men. And he said, I'll give you the gift of peace, not like the world gives, but I will give you what I give you. And he summarizes the gift of peace in a single sentence. Get this sentence and do the three things that Jesus says, and your stress level will go way, way down. And your peace level will go way, way up. Jesus says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are tired and worn out from carrying heavy loads. Yoke up with me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble, and you'll find rest, peace and rest for your soul. That phrase, peace and rest for your soul, is much deeper than just mere physical rest. That's soul rest. Our stress is not overworked from overworked muscles. Now, some of us need to work our muscles maybe a little bit more. But fact is, most of us have overworked tensions and emotions and spirit. We need rest from anxiety and tension. We need rest from guilt. We need rest from fear. The Lord, excuse me, the world says, escape, go on vacation. There's a problem with that, though. When you're on vacation, you take you with you. You don't get away from yourself when you go on vacation. The stress isn't in the office, you find out. The stress is within yourself. It's good to rest for physical and emotional restoration, but that will not restore your spirit and your soul. It's a much deeper thing than that. So the antidote to an overloaded soul is not a time management program. It's not a philosophy. It's not a pill. It's not a plan. It's a person. Jesus says, come to me. And he says three things. Come to Jesus, first of all, and exchange my worry for God's peace. My fear for God's faith. My anxiety for God's tranquility. My vanity for God's serenity. I make that exchange by coming to Jesus. And then secondly, connect with Jesus. The second thing he says is connect and yoke up with him. You know what a yoke is. You've seen oxen or horses with a yoke on, and they're able to divide the weight of the load when they are pulling with a yoke. And he says, yoke up with me. The purpose of a yoke is to make the load easier by sharing it. A yoke is a symbol of partnership. God is saying, I don't intend you to pull all of your worries, all of your burdens, all of your stress, all of your responsibilities through yourself in life. That's why you're tired all the time. He says, let me yoke up with you. Let me help you. And then the third thing is, let Jesus change me. Jesus says, learn from me. Learn from me. He says, I am gentle. I am humble. God knows what causes the stress in your life. And he says, let me help you. The two biggest causes of stress are arrogance and aggression. Aggression is when we don't want to wait for anything. We want what we want now. And we go after it. But the other thing is arrogance, which is the opposite of humility. Arrogance is when I try to control everything myself. You see, the more insecure I am, the more picky and critical I tend to get. When you find someone who is hyper-controlling, they're also hyper-insecure. People at peace don't need to control anything. When you experience the peace of God, it gives you peace within. You're not sitting in judgment of everything because you're at peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You, Lord, give peace to those who depend on you because they trust in you." Are you tired of being stressed out? God's peace is yours for the asking. The Prince of Peace came at Christmas. He said, "My peace I give you, not as the world gives." And I'd like to invite you to pray along with me, a prayer that will be up on the screen. You can pray this silently to yourself, but I encourage you to give it some thought, to pray it. Say, "Jesus, you're the Prince of Peace. I need your peace. Help me, Lord, to see you as you really are and to see myself as I really am. I'm humbly sorry for my sins. Help me to have God's peace that's beyond my understanding. Make the changes in me that you know I need. You've promised true peace to me as I depend on you. I want to trust you for the rest of my life. I want you to be in charge. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Help me to follow you in faith and humility." Dear Father, I pray that you will help us to understand more fully than ever before that you desire for us to have peace, and you desire to help us to live that life of peace day by day by day. Thank you, dear Father, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.